If you have a Bible with you today, I want you to turn over into the book of Daniel, chapter number 6 this morning. I'd like to read a few verses and preach a few things that the Lord has laid on my heart. Found in the book of Daniel, chapter number 6. Let's stand on the reading of the Word of God, found in verse 16 today of Daniel 6. And 16. Brother Jerry Doss, would you pray for me before I preach this morning? Help us. Amen and amen. Daniel 6:16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel. You've heard this in the Sunday school, I'm sure, and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were there instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. The king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice and unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths. They've not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing, honoring the reading of the Word of God. Father, bless this time together now. Thank you for this time around the Word of God. Would you let preaching be easy this morning? Would you do that in hearts? It's only that the Spirit of God can do. Lead and guide me and help me, God, I pray. In Jesus' name I ask you. Amen. And amen. I want to preach out of this old passage today on this simple subject. Faith in the den. Faith in the den. Now, Daniel, we know a lot about him. His name was not mentioned, but this passage was mentioned in the Hebrews 11 in the Hall of Faith. For there the Bible says in verse 32, talking about the people of faith, what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, also of Samuel and the prophets, through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions. This morning, preaching out of faith in the den, let's look at this Bible character, Daniel. So many great qualities that we see in Daniel's life, and I want to point those out to you. We pick him up in Daniel chapter number 1. Been a lot of sermons preached about Daniel, and I realize that, but let's look first of all in chapter number 1 and verse number 8. I want you to notice, first of all, you'll see that Daniel purposed. Daniel purposed. Now, you'll notice in Daniel 1 and verse 1 that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, that came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And you know the story with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but there's a fourth Bible character there. He was Daniel. These children of the providence of God's young'uns had been brought to Babylon captive, and now they have been set aside, and they fared so sumptuously well that we see where Daniel says something in verse number 8. His people is looking at him. He says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now what's going on is, simply, King Nebuchadnezzar had taken these four children. They wanted them to be schooled. They wanted them to be fattened up on the goodness of the king's bounty. But they said, no, we don't want that. We're just going to stick with what we've got. And since you wait about 30 days and you look at us, and the Bible says that those four children, God's children, that was taken captive out of Jerusalem by Babylon, there they fared greater than the king's children. It was something about them that got Nebuchadnezzar's attention. And so Daniel, we see in verse number 8, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. That's what he's talking about. He said, I'm not going to eat your stuff. I'm not going to drink your drinks. I'm going to do as I've been taught. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to live holy and pure. Matter of fact, we need to teach our young people it's still right to live a life of godly and purity and honesty, and to always uplift the Lord Jesus Christ in every day of your life. I want you to notice here, people, that Daniel purposed in his heart. You see, we must purpose in our heart. If you'll always have a purpose in your heart before the opportunity comes, and that purpose can deliver you from trials and temptations, we need to realize and make our hearts up. It'll get our minds made up and have a purpose driven in our hearts in this day and this hour. He had a purposed heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat or with the king's wine. Then chapter 6, I want you to notice, not only do we see Daniel purpose, but we see Daniel preferred now in Daniel 6 and verse number 3. Our story of the passage starts to unfold. The Bible said, then this Daniel, underline that, this Daniel, was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. I tell you how to get that bad spirit off of you. Get a good spirit in you. Amen. I love being around people that's got a good spirit on them. And if you notice, a lot of time people that has got a bad spirit on them, it's because it's a bad spirit in them. But can I tell you that Jesus changes this morning, and Jesus washes clean, and Jesus can give you a pure heart today. I don't care what you've done or how long you've been doing it. The blood of Jesus can wash you clean. Help us this morning to have the right kind of spirit in us. When we come to the house of God, we're not looking around and judging. I heard somebody call this week and said, well, my children don't have what I think they ought to wear tonight. Honey, let me tell you something. I'm glad God's not looking on the outside. He's looking on the inside. A lot of people say, well, we can't come to a place that looks so pretty. Honey, let me tell you what. It's not the outside of the cup. It's the inside of the cup that matters. Jesus is looking on the inside. And may God help us to have the right spirit in this day and this hour. Now, I believe we ought to dress right. We come to the house of God, it ought not look like we're going to Panama City Beach. Somebody say amen. But I believe this with all my heart. Wear the best you got and it'll be good enough. Amen. And brush your teeth before you get here. Somebody say amen this morning. Oh, Daniel was preferred. He had an excellent spirit in him. You Bible readers and studiers, watch this. Daniel was preferred. We see him in verse number 5. He's related to as this Daniel. Then in verse 13, it's simply mentioned, then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel. That's, if you want to have a goal in life, if you want to have a hero, don't pick you out a ball player, honey. Don't pick you out somebody out in Hollywood. Pick you out a Bible character and be like this Daniel and that Daniel. Oh, we need some Daniels back in the house of God that is purposed and preferred before the good throne room of God this morning. Oh my goodness, Daniel was purposed. Daniel was preferred. They recognized him as this Daniel and that Daniel. Not an ordinary Daniel, but that Daniel. This Daniel. Faith in the den. You'll notice Daniel was, he had a purpose. Daniel was preferred. But look at verse 4. You'd think somebody that was living for God would never have any issues. I always thought as a lost man that, you know, if I would go to church and do good and get saved, that everything would be a bed of roses. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches you can be saved. And then the Bible says, after you're saved, you ought to come to the house of God. And then he says this, when trouble comes, he'll have somebody to get in trouble with you, honey. We're not a trouble-free people, but thank God we got somebody that'll get in trouble with us today. So here we see Daniel's persecution, verse 4. The presidents and princes, they sought to find an occasion against him. Watch this. But they could find none occasion or fault for as much as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. I wonder if folks analyzed me and you this morning what they could find. I mean, on our job, in our communities, and in our home. And by the way, people are analyzing me and you. And it doesn't matter. We can throw this all the time. It don't matter what they think. Well, it really don't matter what they think, but it does matter who we are. Amen. And they could not find a fault against him in anything he was doing except one thing. They said, we know how we can get old Daniel. We'll get him concerning his God. Let's get the king to write an ordinance that he can't pray for 30 days and we'll get old Daniel. Boy, aren't people so conniving? But this ain't the end of the story yet. I got something for the conniving people this morning, honey. We better learn to sweep our own doorstep off, not meddle in another man's business, and serve God in sincerity and keep our hearts honest and right with the Lord. Because those people that are vindictive, it's going to come back and get them one of these mornings. You can write that down in your Bible. So they sought occasion. He was persecuted. You ever felt persecuted because of your God? The Bible said in verse 7, the counselors and all of them, they got together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast in the den of lions. And the king established the decree and signed the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now verse 10 takes me where I want to get into preaching this morning. Faith in the den. We see Daniel was purposed. Daniel was preferred. Daniel was persecuted. But look in verse 10. Daniel was persistent. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, what are you talking about, Brother Ken? Well, he had seen the letter of the king. Nobody's to pray except to Nebuchadnezzar for 30 days or you're going in the den of lions. I wonder when the government hands you a piece of paper, what you're going to do with it one day when they tell you that you can't serve and worship God. You say, well, that can't happen in our country. It's happening faster than most of you realize this morning. So Daniel was persistent. Verse 10, when Daniel knew the writing was signed. Watch this. Not only was he persistent, but now look at his posture. This really got my attention. When he knew the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem. Look what he done. He kneeled upon his knees. You know what he simply did? You know what this is portraying when you get up on your knees? God, you're worthy and I'm unworthy. And God, I'm the beggar. You're not the beggar. I'm the one that needs you. And God, I want to get on my knees this morning and tell you that I need you. We need to have the right kind of posture in this day, in this hour. Realize if it went for the grace of God, we'd all be in hell today. You ought to thank God that He's given you the privilege to bow your knee and cry out to Him and say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb of God." If there's ever been a people that need to humble themselves and pray, it is in this day, in this hour. Daniel had a posture to pray. He bent his knee to the Master upon high and he said, "Dear God, I'm a worm and I need you to help me." The reason many of you never going to get help because you think too much of yourself. But let me tell you something. When you have a real need, I'm glad there's a God. We can get on our knees and open the windows and ask Him what we need in our life. Talking about faith in the den, Daniel's posture, he kneeled. God help our church to pray again. You know, President Trump had a great slogan, "Let's make America great again." I believe it with all of my heart. I believe that. But let me tell you a better phrase. God, let your people pray again. God, let your people pray again. Oh my goodness, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day. And prayed and he gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Look where he prayed toward Jerusalem. What's going on with that? That's the way he's been raised. The Jews were taught as little children at Jerusalem. What he's referring to here is temple worship. That's all these people knew about God. They would go to the temple and that's where God met with them. That's where the high priest was. That's where the high priest would do the sacrifices for them. But oh honey, in this dispensation and I, we don't have to pray toward Jerusalem. We pray toward Jesus. For on the third day, He got out of the grave and He ripped that curtain apart. And now we can go into the Holy of Holies by the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to pray toward Jerusalem. We need to pray up toward Jesus. He can answer all of our prayers this morning. This tells me another thing. These children were simply doing what they've been taught. So is your children doing what they've been taught. He was taught to kneel 3 times a day. Many of the scholars say this was a 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 9. 3 times a day, the Jews would go to their place. They'd open their windows toward Jerusalem and they'd pray toward Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, they do need our prayers this morning, for they are God's chosen people. But aren't you glad, Jerusalem, that don't answer our prayers today? But there's a Jesus that's sitting on the right-hand side of the Father that's listening to our prayers in this day and this hour. Oh, His posture. Daniel prayed. And look what they done. His posture, but he's praying. The Bible says, look what he done. Brother Jerry done some of that this morning. Said in verse 10, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed. And look what he done in his praying. And gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Preacher, what are you saying? Oh, he done had the handout. He's done been told, if you disobey this order, and if you pray to your God in heaven, you're going to the lion's den. And you see what this man did. You're talking about faith. This man gave thanks, the Bible said, before his God as he did aforetime. That reminds me of something this morning. It don't matter if bad times come, you can still praise Him. Now, don't let bad times, don't let the den of lions take your thankfulness away out of your heart. Daniel said, I don't care if it is sad. I'm going to thank God for what He's done for me and who He is and what He's going to do. Some of us need to get back to thanking God and realize Baptist is going to look at you funny whether you raise your hands or not. But honey, the children of God, they know something about worship and about praising Him. Let's get back to thanking God as we did aforetime in this day and this hour. Oh, he said, it's bad, Lord, but I'm going to thank you the way I've been thanking you. It'd do some of you good this morning to get on the pathway of thanking him how good he's been to you. Daniel said, I ain't changing a thing. He said, matter of fact, I'm going to keep the windows open so y'all can look in and see. He didn't pull the window curtains down. He said, I'm going to keep them open. I wonder if anybody ever come by your house, peep in, would they ever catch you praying? I remember one morning, I've told it here several times, but it's worth telling again. You know, Sophie was a little bitty child. She'll probably remember it. Megan had brought her over to the house before she went to work, and Renee was in the back of the house. I went into my study, Brother Adam, and I was praying there. I had an old pine floor in that study, and I would kneel, and I'd put a cushion down, and I'd lay in that chair, and I'd pray every morning. I was there praying one morning. Brother David, I heard them pine boards popping. I didn't know who it was. Matter of fact, I don't even remember if I realized Megan was going to drop Sophie off or not. But when I got done praying, Brother Adam, I looked up and little Sophie wasn't but about maybe 2 or 3 years old. That baby was standing by me, Brother Larry. She had her hand out over my shoulder. When I looked up, I thought Michael the Archangel fell out of my study. I say this morning, had your babies ever caught you praying? If they looked in the window, would they catch you praying? Oh God, can we get back to praying in this day and this hour? Our young'uns know where we hunt and fish and shop. Do they know where we pray? Oh, Daniel was praying. Brother Larry, it's been many songs written on. Remember that song, and Daniel prayed. Can I tell you, prayer still works this morning. I read an editorial this week, Brother Mike, and I believe in what it says. Listen what it says. A simple statement, a two-phrase statement. Preaching changes the heart of men. But prayer changes the heart of God. Preaching affects the heart of man. But praying affects the heart of God. Daniel knew what was going on and he went into his prayer place as he did aforetime. We see Daniel praying. We see Daniel praising. He was... But Brother Ken, you don't understand. It's such dark circumstances that I find myself in. You'll be surprised what will happen when you get along with God and you go to thanking Him and praising Him for what He's done for you. So here we see Daniel and his posture, Daniel and his praying, Daniel and his praising. But verse 16, I won't preach much longer. Look at Daniel and his predicament. Even though Daniel loved God, listen to me, children. Even though Daniel loved God, even though Daniel was praying and praising Him and thanking Him, he found himself in a great predicament. Just because you love Jesus, it don't mean that predicaments won't come your way. And I want you to notice what happens in this Bible, verse 16. The king commanded and they brought Daniel. These spies had looked in and seen him praying. They run back and told the king. The king had to go with what he had signed. And so they brought Daniel to him. They brought Daniel and look, they cast him in the den of lions. And now the king spake and said to Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he'll deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet and the signet of his lords, and the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Daniel and his predicament. You notice that the king sealed it. What you thought right here, Pastor? I want to say this. The devil thought he sealed the deal, but the devil don't seal the deal. A lot of times the devil will tell you, you'll look around in this dark place. Now, I want to show you something. There's been people said, I don't know if Daniel was in a cave or if he was in a den. I don't know if these lions was in a place shootout. Let's look what the Bible says in verse 23, that they should command that Daniel would be taken up out of the den. It was a low place, and Daniel was cast in it. Isn't it amazing how life can cast you in a low place all of a sudden? Even though you love God and serving God, all of a sudden you find yourself cast in a low place. And you know something else? That's not the end of the story. There was this huge slab of stone that was placed on the top of this entrance. I read this week where they would take a mud seal and they would seal around this entrance so nobody could get in or get out, and the king would put his stamp upon it. You know the reason he done that? To assure that nobody could get out and look in and help Daniel. But can I tell you something? When nobody else is a looking, God is a doing big things. You better always remember this. And when you look up and you feel like you're in a place that you can't get out, it ain't the end of the story yet. Daniel found himself in a dark place. Daniel found himself in a dangerous place. It was a den of lions. Some commentators say it was seven. Some say it was 10. You know what they would do with these lions? They would cast to them lambs every morning or bodies. These lions were sitting there and they were awaiting. And they cast Daniel in that den of lions. Cast him down. His predicament. Verse 18, the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Time out this second. I'm about done preaching. Can I tell you, God can get into bed with you? Boy, how many times have I tossed and tumbled needing to mind God and do something, and God wouldn't leave him alone. I'm going to fold my hands toward him this morning and say, God, thank you that you won't leave me alone. I'm glad things bother me in this day and this hour. Oh, his predicament. Verse 19, but now let's look at his protection. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste in the den of lions. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able? Now, I want you to notice something. In the earlier passages, he said, your God will deliver you. But when he laid down, he went to doubt himself. He woke up the next morning and he asked him, he said, was your God able to take care of you? It's amazing where doubt will take you. It's amazing what your mind will allow to come in and take your person to. It's amazing what can come in my mind. One thing that I'm assured of, yesterday I get up doubting it today. Has anybody else ever lived there? But let's watch the passage. Daniel and his predicament. Wouldn't that be terrible if you had a preacher just close his Bible right there in the predicament and said, well, now let's go home. Can I tell you, in your predicament, there's always protection. Look what he says. Verse 21, then said Daniel to the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and have shut the lion's mouth. How many times have you ever doubted and wondered when you was in a low place and you felt them drag that stone above you and seal it, and there was no way out? It was dark and it was discouraging and it was so depressing. But all of a sudden, God done something. I was reading over in the book of Acts this morning. You remember when James was killed in the early church? They locked up Simon Peter And prayers was made to the church unto God for him. And the Bible said in that midnight hour, the angel of the Lord came into that prison cell and he smote Peter on the side and he said, "Get up, Peter, and get out of this place." I was reminded in Acts 28 with Paul on that great missionary journey where he stood up and he said, "You should have hearkened to the sound of my voice, for I perceive there's great damage coming to this vessel." He said, "But there was an angel of God who stood by me this night, of whom I am and whom I serve." Can I tell you, God's got an angel looking about you. And a lot of times you think it was luck that you got out of your accident. You think it was luck that you escaped. But God has angels encamped all around His children. And I want to say something this morning. Look at Matthew 18 and 10 about this of an angel. Matthew 18 and 10. You've heard a lot about angels. We're not to worship angels. But let me tell you, God does use angels. In Matthew 18 and 10, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." You've had an angel assigned to you for years. You might not have known nothing about it. But I tell you what you can do. You can raise your hand up and say, "Thank you, God, that you've been seeing about me when I wasn't even looking in my dark hour." Oh, my goodness. Hebrews 1 and 13, the Bible teaches us something there about angels. I sure am glad it's in my Bible. Hebrews 1, 13, "From henceforth expectantly, as in as we made his footstool, for by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." I'm glad that he has perfected us forever. But now look in Hebrews 1 and 13. "But to which of the angels said he at any time, 'Set on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool.' And here it is, 'Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" I remember one day as a little kid, I was on the tractor. Where I was raised was big dairy country in Middle Tennessee. There's a huge farm below me. I'd spent the night with a young man. We went to get the cows up. It was early, big dew on the ground. I got on the running board of that tractor. I'll never forget this. We went across that pasture. Of course, as a young kid, he got too fast, and I turned around. And I'll never forget, Brother David, my tennis shoes was wet, and I slipped off the fender of that tractor. And I looked, and that tractor tire was coming right at me. And that boy, not much older than me, he reached and grabbed me by the nape of the neck and set me back up on the fender of that tractor. You say, he sure was strong. Nah. He couldn't do that as a grown man. But God was a-seeing about me in days. And God's been a-seeing about you. You know why? Because He loves His children. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about those that fear Him and trust Him. Oh, I'm glad God sees about us even when we're in the den. You may be here this morning. You're going through that den experience in your life. You've served God, and no doubt you have questions, you wonder. But let me tell you, there is a God that is faithful. He said, "My God hath sent His angel and hath shut the lion's mouth. They've not hurt me for as much as before innocency was found in me, and also before the old king have I done no hurt." Lastly, Daniel and his protection. But look at Daniel and his prosper in verse 28. "So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian." It's something I want you to read when you get home. We're going to have an invitation now. I don't want to labor in this, but I do want to tell you this. Those conniving people, you know what happened to them? They were cast in that den of lions and their bones was broken. The Bible says even with their children. Can I tell you something this morning? We better be careful what we do in our life because it does affect our children. God prospered Daniel. I want to be that Daniel. I want to be that Daniel that's persisted in my praying and my thankfulness. I've made many mistakes in life. And I still make many mistakes. But I sure am glad there's a God that not only loves me, but He loves you, sir. You think maybe that time that gun went off, and you barely escaped, that was no accident. That was God. That car wreck, you climbed out, people shook their head and said, I realize God allows things that we don't understand. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. You may find yourself in a dark place. Seems like a stone is put in over top of you. See, Daniel's prayers were effectual before he got there. God honors faithfulness and persistence. And He loves you. This young lady's playing something. This